Worldwide Wealth. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He let out the vineyard unto keepers. Every one for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. Song of Solomon 8, verse 11. Baal Hamon, meaning lord of a multitude or one who rules over a populous place. Solomon's dominion was vast and his subjects many. In 1 Kings 2 and 4 we read that his kingdom was established greatly. Judah and Israel were many, as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and making merry. And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river Euphrates unto the land of the Philistines and unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. He had peace on all sides round about him, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. They lacked nothing. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and of all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. 1 Kings 2:12, 1 Kings 4:20 through 21, 27 and 29 through 31. Solomon's far-reaching dominion speaks of the reign of Jesus Christ over the world. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion from sea to sea. He shall reign over the kingdom of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Jesus will be Lord of a multitude and over a populous area, even King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:16. There will be plenty of keepers throughout his domain. His royal servants will abound. All the nations will serve and acknowledge his lordship. The 1,000 pieces of silver figure the fruits of redemption which God's people shall bring to him. At the beginning of this age, Israel as a nation failed to bring in the required results of Christ's redeeming work, but they will fill up that lack when he returns to their deliverance. My vineyard which is mine is before me. Thou, O Solomon, shalt have 1,000, and those that keep the fruit thereof 200. Song of Solomon 8:12, the Revised Version. The phrase, 1,000 vines at 1,000 silverlings, Isaiah 7:23, Revised Version, throws light on these verses. Solomon's vineyard had 1,000 vines for each keeper to keep. Therefore, he expected each keeper to turn into him 1,000 silverlings, or pieces of silver. In distinction from others, the songstress of this chapter had her own vineyard. No doubt she meant to assure the king that she would not come behind with her vineyard, but that he shall have 1,000 from it as well as from his own. Those who kept her vineyard for her should have 200 for themselves. She declares, "My vineyard which is mine is before me. I am looking after it myself. It cannot fail to be productive." The wife of Jehovah will have an inheritance of her own. It will be on earth. Jehovah's dominion and interests will be heaven-wide and worldwide. They will include the interests of the heavenly bride and of the earthly bride. The bride of the Lamb will have an inheritance distinct from the earth-dwelling bride and from other companies of believers. She will have her own vineyard and yet share in all the interests and honors of her bridegroom. The King Universal, whose name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6, for 1,000 years. As it were, the earth-dwelling bride will vie with the heavenly queen in turning in the 1,000 silverlings, pieces of silver, the results of redemption. God has said to her, "I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations." Isaiah 27, verse 5. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Isaiah 60, verse 35. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. The abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Isaiah 66, verses 19 through 20. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Song of Solomon 8:13. Other people gave attention, the Hebrew word is koshab, to the king's voice as the king. They showed him courtesy as friends, but this loyal lady desired to hear, Hebrew shamea, at his voice as her bridegroom. As the last verse suggests, she longed to enjoy his personal love. Long before, Solomon had made a similar statement to the first lady, "Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice." Song of Solomon 2:14. Likewise, Solomon's voice was sweet to the second lady. She adds, "Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or to a young hart on the mountains of spices." Song of Solomon 8:14. At last she dared to call the king my beloved. Before the drama ends and the curtain drops, the unnamed woman ventures to speak to him as indeed her husband. Why this final request of him? Did she want him to depart from her? No, she wished him to regard her as a mountain of spices and flourish himself youthfully in token of his love for her. From Song of Solomon 4 verses 10 through 16, we learn that the odor or perfume of the spices which grew on the mountains was charmingly sweet and intoxicating. She had before promised to give him of her spiced wine. Evidently, she offered him a glass of it at this time. As if she were the last one to show him love and to make his heart merry with the spiced wine of her pomegranate which she had gathered from the mountain of spices. All people will acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Almighty God and as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They will give attention to his commands. The companions of the heavenly and earthly brides will give him due honor as supreme ruler, but the bride of Jehovah will want to hear his voice as her bridegroom. She never would be satisfied with the distant feeling of being only his friend. She must hear his sweet, tender, loving voice. As David cried, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust." Psalm 143, verse 8. She will venture to call him her beloved and expect him to rejoice over her, even as he will rejoice over the wife of the Lamb. Isaiah 62, verse 5. The bride of Jehovah will intoxicate her bridegroom with spiced wine of her high praises. She will give him glory not only for saving her from the power and oppression of the enemy, but much more for his bridegroom devotion to her. No music will sound so sweet to her as the chorus, "Thy Maker is thine husband." She will sing and break forth into singing because of his love to her, and her deep appreciation of Jehovah's love for her will enable him to flourish himself with the vigor of eternal youth, like a roe or a young hart that is intoxicated and overcome with the sweet, fragrant odors of the spices of the mountains. The brides contrasted. The bride of the Lamb will be full overcomers out of the church, the body of Christ. The bride of Jehovah will be out of Israel. In what respects will the bride of the Lamb differ from the bride of Jehovah? The outstanding characteristic of the wife of the Lamb will be that she will be lamb-like, but the wife of Jehovah will be more lion-like. With the bride of the Lamb, it will be more inward. Therefore, God is working in the heavenly company an inward yieldingness, a giving up, a deep sweetness and gentleness. With the bride of Jehovah, it will be outward. She will be more mighty, manifestly a greater fighter in every way. In the past, saints stood firm in the face of armies. They were true to God when the axe came down upon their necks, or when they were tortured. So it will be again with the overcomers of Israel. The power of God will overshadow them and make them courageous and strong. They will conquer by resisting and overcoming their foes. The bride of the Lamb conquers by giving up. Resist not evil. Matthew 5:39, saith the Lord. We conquer by believing. We win by watching and waiting. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal or material, but mighty through God. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, Ephesians 6:17, is our great weapon, both of offense and defense. Bridal saints in the church do not fight for their own rights. When Shimei cursed David, he did not let his friends interfere, but he said, "He cannot curse me except the Lord allows it." That is the spirit of the heavenly bride. Paul describes our bridal robe thus, Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on, as an ulster overcoat, charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule, arbitrate in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ, the Lamb, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 16. Thus, saints today weave their wedding garments and make themselves ready for the bridehood of the Lamb. Beloved reader, our picture drama is over. The sweet, charming song has ceased. The curtain has dropped. The writer enjoyed deeply the study of this song and the penning of the first notes thereon. But my recent study has been much more profitable, and my revision of the lessons has been far more interesting and glorious than the former. Now, what has the reading of these lessons brought to your heart? I trust that they have magnified Jesus to you and have created in your heart a desire and purpose to run and win Christ as your bridegroom, the prize of the high calling of God. Philippians 3, verse 14. Sweet will of God, I pray, O Lord, thy will be done from morning light to set of sun. In all my life, throughout each day, thy will be done in every way, and I have naught at all to say. I pray, O Lord, thy will be done till thou canst see in me thy Son, my every word to breathe thy fame, and every deed show forth thy name, and all thy holiness proclaim. I pray, O Lord, thy will be done until the victory has been won, and every whit of temple, praise in every move and every phase, thy matchless name to endless days. Mary M. Bodie.